My fear with my clients is always that I'm showing a little too much leg.
Oh yeah, that seems like a big. It seems like yeah. Are you like what the fuck's that movie? Is it Basic Instinct? Are you basic instincting
Yeah.
them?
No, not that extreme, but just am I showing a little too much leg?
Yeah, so you wear shorts to these sessions?
No.
Well, so you pull up your pants leg.
Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Let's, you know what, Jeff? Let's fucking do it. This is the, we'll find an episode name for this, but we'll do another little free form.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're free forming it tonight, folks. Hello, hey there, hi there, whoa there, and ho there.
Ho
Welcome
there.
to the podcast.
Ho there, there ho.
There ho.
Where woof.
Where what ho? Where ho
where,
there ho?
Woof.
Hey there, hi there, whoa there, ho there. Welcome to the podcast.
I think that's isn't that a Ramones song?
That's they do the hey ho, let's go. Ours is more like a Midwestern, you know, thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's more of a Midwestern thing.
Guys, we want to, those listeners, we want you to know that even when we don't feel up to it, we're going to do a show because we care about our listeners, all eight of them.
That's right, Jeff. That is right. We do absolutely. We are feeling very low this evening, folks. So it's going to be a little bit of a free form. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things. So this one is truly everything is traumatic.
Yes. And I'd like to do a little different kind of shout out. I'd like to shout out. Normally we shout out Tiffy. But I'd like to shout out to Tiffy's parents for creating Tiffy.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Because without them, there would be no Tiffy.
Yeah, Ma and Pa Tiff, thank you for creating Tiffy. And Tiffy, thank you for listening to the podcast. Rallying
Mr.
up the
and
family.
Mrs.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I just said the whole name.
Yeah. Jeff.
We're gonna have to bleep that. And people are going to think that we said something dirty.
That's right, Jeff. We are going to have to bleep that. But you know what?
We can
I think that's a good shout out. Like, I'd like to give a shout out to Vivian. Vivian, thank you very much for listening to the podcast as always. I've been checking the stats on our pod thingy here, Jeff, and we got a lot of listeners in Ohio.
Wow.
We got a lot of
listeners. The show me state.
The show. You better. Is that the show me state?
No, I don't know. But let's. Yeah. Ohio.
Ohio. We got a lot of listeners in Ohio.
The Ohio State University.
Absolutely. We also have some listeners in. Let's see. We got some listeners in Louisiana, North Carolina, Michigan, Missouri, New Jersey, New
York. A little
York.
Gumbo for you.
We still got our fans in Sweden. We got our fans in Sweden and Västerbotten. Thank you guys. And then there's one.
We love our foreign fans. Well, we love Sweden. Yeah. I really want to visit Sweden.
I would love to go.
So
yeah.
You just let us know. We'll come over and hang with you.
Well, Jeff, I know we're both sitting here asking ourselves, like, how can we engage with everyone? How can we talk to everyone or have like a central place for people to talk to us? You remember how we've always talked about that?
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I'm here to tell you guys right now that we just set up an email. And by we, I mean the royal we. So please feel free to email us at everythingistraumatic@gmail.com. It was not taken. We got
nice.
It. Give us an email. We'll read them on the podcast, and hopefully that will, because I would love to just like hear from these people and like know what we can do better. What do they like? What do they hate? What can
what
we improve
questions
on?
They have?
Yeah. Do you guys have questions? Do you want to share any traumatic stories with us? You don't have to do that necessarily, but you can you can fan submit a what is traumatic episode if you want. I mean, fuck, I don't care. I just want
to.
I want
to
connect.
To request a song. do a late night. What did they call it? What did Casey Kasem used to call them?
Casey Kasem used to call them late night
dedications, or
late night. I think it is late night dedications.
Yeah,
ours can be traumatic dedications. This trauma.
Traumatic dedications.
This one goes out to you, folks. Traumatic educations. But yeah, like I said, we're kind of riffing it. Hell, I'm probably going to take the cheap way out and just say that making an email is traumatic is probably going to be the name of this episode because I'm fucking lazy.
I like it. Email is traumatic. Email is traumatic.
Email is traumatic. It's just us announcing we have one. We don't read
everything all spelled out. Everything is traumatic at gmail.com.
Correct. Everything is traumatic. That's all together. Everything is traumatic at gmail.com. Give us an email. Let us know how you guys
that's great.
Think the show is going.
You know, that's probably more practical than my idea which would just be dropping by everybody's home unannounced and just sitting in sort of a hostage situation. Not we wouldn't like we have weapons or anything, but just sort of like we just show up and like then you're like, I don't know these people, but I've heard their voices and it gets uncomfortable, especially when we get in the fridge.
Well, believe it or not, Jeff, I think this is kind of a way to get to that point, you know, like,
yeah,
we get the emails.
Send us your address.
Email us your address. We'll come and visit.
We will not dox you like I did poor Tiffy.
Yeah, our doxing days are done. Well, no more doxing. But so, Jeff, you said you watched a movie that
I watched a movie and this is it was. I probably didn't watch it in the ideal setting because this movie is very dependent on its sound design. This is a film called The Zone of Interest, which is a A24 film, which is A24 puts out some very high quality product, from comedies to dramas to horror and everything. So this film is basically the story of the commandant of Auschwitz and his family. And it is in German. But we never see. So basically it's at his house with his family. And then they're right next door to Auschwitz, but you don't see Auschwitz. You just hear Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And the whole point is, the director said he wanted to get away from this whole thing that these evil people are just these very one-sided evil. So he's very caring and loving to his family. He has a dog. They laugh. They go swimming. They do all these things. He's very gentle with his family. But then he goes next door and does atrocities all day long. And so I saw a little thing talking about it. So they made the film and it's very static in the shots. They had cameras basically set up in this house. So it's not a whole lot of movement with camera. They just set them up.
Yeah. There was barely any crew on set. Like they'd come in and change batteries, but I also watched a thing on this. Maybe we watched the same thing, but the way they described
So it's like a documentary. And then over the wall, so they've got the film and they did the film, but they didn't have any of the sound design too. So the people that are, as they're acting, don't have anything to react to because, you know, normally there'd be like an explosion and you'd react to it. But so the actors didn't have any idea what was going to be in the soundtrack. And so they did the movie and then they went through and they made a second sound movie of just the noises. And they tried to get organic noises instead of doing Foley or whatever. So they did do some Foley, but they would do like they needed screams and talking. And so they did actually some like recording at protests and different things. because they wanted to make them sort of authentic. And then they put that down. And so as you are listening to the film or watching the film, you hear gunshots, you hear some screams, you hear trains, you hear different things happening, mm-hmm. but it's just off the site. You don't see any of it. And so you've got this family that's sort of happy, and normal. And then on the other side of the fence, you've got some of the worst atrocities that are happening. And it's an interesting experiment in dealing with the horrors of Nazi Germany, but also sort of showing the banality of evil, maybe.
Well, yeah, it's showing, like, I've wanted to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but it does bring up just, like, it just shows that, like, these people are humans. Like, the Nazis are just like us in that sense. Like, they also have a family they're trying to raise up and have a good life for. And, like, that's the scary thing about, like, what is bad, what is good, what is evil.
What is evil, good.
Like, evil
takes
all shapes and forms. Like, it's not just one entity. It's a feeling, it's a mindset, it's a disregard for anything righteous, I guess is the word I'm looking for, but probably not the best word. It's interesting, yeah, because, like, again, this guy is just like, he's at his home, he's like, all right, gotta go to work, honey. That's loading up the gas chambers, unfortunately. Like,
well, he was known for, I think his last name was Haas, Rudolf Haas, maybe. Mm-hmm. He was known for his efficiency at killing mass numbers of people. And so there's some scene that I don't want to give away any major pieces. It's really not a story, more of just a slice of life. But there's some scenes where the Nazi generals are meeting, talking about the mass exterminations of people, but it's like a business meeting mm-hmm. where they have an agenda mm-hmm. and they're talking about it just like it's any other job. And I feel like that's the way a lot of war happens. You have these generals or these people at the top saying, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. Mm-hmm. And they have no connection to the actual work that's being done. You know, it's like us calling a drone strike on somebody and somebody pushes a button and a drone goes. Mm-hmm. You don't see that it explodes and people blow up and that people are killed and that innocent people are killed. It was just like that detachment from the evil. Now, this guy was actually doing things, but it's interesting the way military and war is, there's so much detachment from what actually happens unless you are there, unless you're on the ground, or unless you are the victim. The people that are way up are detached from it. And so it's easy to make a call where you just say, yeah, take them out. Mm-hmm. So the president makes a call, but he's not there. He doesn't have to see the aftermath.
No.
He doesn't see the destruction.
No.
And that's on all sides of war. There is no clean or moral war. We get in these arguments of, like, the rules of war and what's okay in war. And it's just like we create these little things. Oh, you can't do this.
Yeah, yeah. We try to have some morality in war, which, like,
we try to sanitize it.
Yeah.
Well, but it's I mean, there is no sanity or sanitizing war. It's just bad.
Yeah, absolutely. It is kind of a oxymoron with saying that moralities and war, there's rules in war. And like it, you say that, like I say that it's oxymoron. Like who is enforcing that rule?
Yeah.
During wartime.
And I mean, there are wars where you can see that there are sides where you say, okay, so World War II, when you were trying to destroy Nazi Germany, that was something that needed to be done. But there's still atrocities on every side. And then you've got, so like this story is about the SS officers, which were behind the Final Solution and the destruction of trying to eradicate all the Jewish people, and then other people too. And then you have the German soldiers who are very detached from that. They're just fighting for homeland, or they're fighting because they were forced to, and they don't know all this stuff. They're just fighting. They're not, it's like the SS was the group that was plotting this kind of thing. This was not something that, although I think people were convinced that Jewish people were bad because of the propaganda. The normal person on the street, if you said, we're going to kill 8 million people, they wouldn't be like, oh, that's great. They were detached from that. They didn't know that was the plan.
Yeah,
So,
we have a very quick tendency to dehumanize each other.
yeah.
And I think that's a very just core people issue. Like we don't, sometimes we just don't treat each other like humans
Yeah,
at
yeah.
all.
Well, and you do that so you can. We do that all the time, so we can say, "Oh, those people, we don't have to feel bad about their pain, because they're oh, they brought it on themselves, or they did this, or they did that, whatever it is." So, another example of banality of evil is the BTK killer, who was killing people over, I think, decades. And he was married and had children, and he was like a teacher at his Sunday school and church, and he didn't ever abuse them or harm them, but he was going out and torturing and horrifying people over the course of decades.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting it out somehow.
Yeah, but then his family was unaware. I mean, normally there's like the sign, but he was so good at that double life,
That's the fucking thing, Jeff. Like, you never truly know someone, like, because we're like, and I know I've said this probably a million fucking times on the podcast, but it bears saying it again since we're on the subject of it. Like, we are just as capable of doing evil as we are of doing good. So, and the fact that we just never truly know who someone is, like, you never know someone 100%, it's crazy. It's like, I mean, I
Well, there
still
are
can figure.
parts of everybody that you don't know. I mean, even if people are not doing evil, but there are things or thoughts or past that you don't know that people have.
I see. Yeah, I wasn't trying to put like a demonization on it.
No, 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 no.
But
You're right, though.
I just mean like it's a vast thing. It isn't just like this person's fucking evil, but like you never know if someone like enjoys fucking I don't know, like putting bread ties on their nipples or something. Like that's something they might be embarrassed to share or
Yeah. But I mean, I think it shows the capacity. I think that people have the capacity to do great good and great evil. And sometimes it's the situations that they're in. And the sad part is the people that are more direct, like the soldiers that are on the ground, those are the people that have the PTSD. Those are the people that see the horrible things. The leaders or the politicians that want them to go, unless they've been in battle, they don't. And that doesn't mean they don't have compassion, but they're not experiencing it. They're not the ones that are suffering the immediate reactions to that.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
And so it's
that's, it's the system. It's the system working according to plan, Jeff. You find
the.
people that want to kill, and you have people that want to plan how to kill.
So, let's for example, Vietnam, where there were atrocities against the Vietnamese people. Those soldiers that there might have been some people that were more predisposed to be committing atrocities or harming people that were not the enemy. But they're also, when you think about it, you see your friends being killed. You are in a war that you don't know who the enemy is. You don't feel like you're getting support from your country. You're out, you're hungry, you're harmed, you're in the middle of the jungle. And I could see why you would snap and do something horrible to somebody, because we are not created to be in that kind of environment where you are worried all the time for your safety, where people are being shot. You know, it doesn't excuse it in any way, but it's understandable why you would do something to somebody, because you're filled with fear and anger.
Well, yeah.
And cause... you would take that out on somebody. And you also have weapons, and you are encouraged to use them. You are trained to kill the bad guy. And so violence is an option. Killing people is an option. And it's not wrong. It's actually, you're a hero if you kill the bad guy, right? So it can get very confusing in your brain. And then we take these people and we send them on a battlefield and say, you can kill, you can do all these things, this is how you deal with stuff. And then we bring people back to the United States and then we say, but you can't do that over here. And so it's very confusing, right? Yeah.
And then we're going to set you up with a system that's going to be designed to be convoluted for you to get
get help. Yeah.
If you're feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very fucked. It's very fucked that we send off people to do that. Like I am not a big fan of it. I really am not. But I just don't know. I feel conflicted because I don't want to say the stupid thing of like it's necessary. I don't want to. My brain keeps saying that, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But it's because we're quick to dehumanize everyone, anyone that's different to us. Like you said, we're naturally tribalistic. And it just takes one little disagreement to separate groups of people.
Yeah. And we see.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I'm sorry. And like you were talking about with like, these people are scared, they're angry, they're anxious, like everyone's fight or flight kicks in, like the survival of it's either them or me. And it's a terrible situation to be in, but that's nature, that's life. It's terrible. Life is traumatic.
Life is traumatic. Something else about the German soldiers is that they were giving them meth, basically, to keep them functioning. And so you're on drugs because you need to be able to do your job and you need to be able to continue. And
you got a blitzkrieg to do, buddy. this blitzkrieg bops.
There you go. There's a Ramones callback.
Thing. Yeah. But yeah, it's you know, like I want to see Zone of Interest. Did you ever watch Jojo Rabbit?
Yeah. Jojo Rabbit is much more funny and story, even though it's got some very traumatic. It's much more hopeful.
Yeah.
Than this film. This film is. I don't want to give it away, but there's a part towards the end which hit me harder than any other part.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of film that you watch and you sort of go, okay, yeah. And then you think about it and it becomes worse. Because again, nothing is seen. Things are only suggested.
And heard, yeah.
And heard. And then you think about that. Like, what did I just hear? And the other thing is that it is suggested that the family has grown accustomed to those noises and they no longer hear them because they hear it every day. And so they don't even pay attention to it. So it's not like they're just hardened, which some of them are, but there's children. there's little children, and so some of it is just like if you hear, you know, sirens every day, eventually you start to, you know, filter those out, and you don't hear them anymore.
Yeah, it all becomes very like routine. It becomes very like normalized. It becomes like I fucking experience, I think all of us kind of experience it in Tennessee of whether or not you hear a gunshot. You're just kind of like, yep, someone's shooting a gun.
I hear a lot of helicopters.
Interesting. Oh, that's interesting. They might be circling you.
Yeah, I think they're trying to find out where the podcast originates from.
That's great that the signal's coming from your house and not where I'm at, because I can't disclose where I'm at.
Yes, exactly. You are in an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
It's definitely a film. It's interesting because it's a film about some of the worst violence that ever occurs. And it's rated PG-13.
Yep, and you don't even see the violence.
There's no violence that you see. I think it's rated PG-13 for a couple of curse words. There's a lot of things that are suggested
Well, I
that you
mean,
just have to sort of fill in the blanks about what's really happening.
and that's what I think, like what he was going for, I think that like achieves that. That's a good way, 'cause like we've seen like every war movie at this point. You know, we've seen the atrocities, the horrors. If you're like me, you've watched the actual like documentaries on History Channel, like you've seen it. This is a new way that is effective because instead of the horrors being something that you can't imagine, you or something you don't have to imagine, now you just have to imagine it, and that is more terrifying than seeing it, in my opinion.
Right. And also putting a human face on the person that does these horrible things,
Yep.
that at the end of the day, it's his job. And his job is to kill as many people as quickly as possible and then dispose of them as possible. Just like create as much product as possible and make as much profit as possible, those kind of things.
Oh yeah, it was very they I'm sure they had it down to a nice system.
Yeah, that and he was one of the best, and that's why he was over Auschwitz, which was one of the largest killing camps in the war. You know, and I feel like a movie like Schindler's List was very, very important because I think it Schindler's List shows the atrocities because sometimes we need to be reminded. Just like Saving Private Ryan shows what war would be like. And so I feel like there's some very important times where you just have to show something. And then there are times when it's better just to suggest or to allude to like there's a scene in Jojo Rabbit where one scene is a very happy scene, and then there's a scene that's almost exactly like it, but it's a sad scene.
I know, and it
And
fucking guts me. It guts me every time.
it brings back the, I mean, it goes from joy to pain in a very quick way. So I mean, it's, and I think it was a Jojo Rabbit is an important movie because it talks about how a person that is young becomes indoctrinated into a certain ideology. And then that person, when they begin to question that ideology, it starts to fall apart.
Yep. No, it's a very
But when you
important
have,
movie. I love that movie.
yeah, he has the ability to meet somebody that is the enemy. And when you meet the enemy and realize the enemy is just a human, the ideology falls apart.
Yep. Exactly. And fuck, that's what we need. But that's me thinking very positive and hippy dippy. I mean, I want to go back to like how they enforce the rules in war, Jeff. Like Do they throw a flag on the battleground?
Do we have referees? No, we go back later and we have trials.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess
years after it happened, we have trials. Okay. And then there's sanctions. There can be sanctions. You can vote that there's sanctions.
Oh my God!
It's so like that. I don't know if you remember. Have ever heard this story? But when they were trying to figure out a ceasefire for Vietnam, the early talks broke down because they couldn't decide if they wanted a square or a round table to sit around to talk about having a peace treaty or having an end to the Vietnamese war.
Mm. Wait, what?
So they were beginning to try to figure out America and France and whatever, blah, 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 all the different parties were going to sit down and try to figure out a way to stop the Vietnamese war.
Mm.
But they couldn't get it off the ground because they could not figure out if they wanted to use a round or square table to sit around to talk about if they're going to have a treaty.
So the four of them, like, is it the four, like?
Well, it was a bunch of different people, but as they were getting to negotiate, they couldn't even get past the idea of what shape table they would sit around to have these talks.
Oh, surely that's already been made into something, right?
It's true. I don't know if it's been in a movie or whatever, but I know it's
a great idea for like a sketch or a short. What the fuck?
But I think it just shows the ridiculousness of, I mean, to me, it's always been crazy that we're, not only are we going to fight about something, but we're going to send people to kill each other over disputes, usually about land or power
or oil.
But we're actually going to kill people.
Yep.
To prove a point.
Well, it goes back to dehumanizing, man. You dehumanize anyone that's different than you enough, and you can justify the means of eradication, and it's terrible.
I can't remember the exact line, but there's something out of Dr. Strangelove where they talk about, we can't argue, you can't fight in the war room or something, that where they're fighting.
No, gentlemen, don't argue. You can't argue in here. This is the war room.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I think there's so much ridiculousness that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much, I think, what's the word I'm looking for? So much rationalization and detachment from reality when you have a person that's a general that is somewhere, or the president or whoever it is that orders something, and it goes down the line to the guy that has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a movie called American President. It's sort of hokey. It's got Michael Douglas in it, I think.
Uh-huh. Wait, this sounds familiar. I feel like, okay.
It's an okay movie. It's a little bit hokey, but so there's a I don't know who it was. Like, let's just say it's Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan or something. They have a strike, and so they decide to do a strike back. And they decide to blow up this building in the middle of the night to keep casualties low as a response. And they're like telling him it's heroic. And he's like, there's going to be a janitor working at this place in the middle of the night, just doing his job, that has no idea that I have signed his death warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to be doing his job. He's wanting to go home to his family. He has nothing to do with the conflict. And he's going to be blown up because we have to have a response to this. Oh, and we're trying to choose a way to kill as few people as possible. But he's going to be caught up in that because he's going to be doing his job in the middle of the night. And so that's what we do. These we're going to save as many lives as possible. We're going to try to keep casualties low. But you're still blowing up people.
Yeah, there's still casualties.
Collateral damage. They're not real people.
Oh, yeah. The famous old excuse.
And isn't it interesting the terms that are used? Collateral damage, targets, the asset.
We talked about
this. We never say we're blowing a person up.
No, because that's too depressing. The news needs to be just depressing enough. Not fully, but just enough to get you down.
Here's a picture. Here's video of Jim. Jim's going to explode in a second. We have it in slow motion to show everybody.
Let's get
that. That would change things a little bit.
And we added wacky sound effects. We're trying to lessen the blow, but we realize it's just more distasteful. Yeah. Yep.
You'll notice that Jim's eyes shoot out of his skull in the explosion. He's vaporized.
But you know, Jeff, like this talk about the war, like just wars and dehumanization and just atrocities, you know, it's a lot to take in sometimes. So I wonder how we put like a kind of a therapeutic spin on it. Like, I don't know, that shit's just kind of sucks right now. Is anyone having really a good time? Email us and let us know if you're having a good time.
Email us if we've depressed you. I feel like, so in the midst of these horrible conflicts, sometimes there are amazing things that happen. And I don't remember when it is, but there's time when I think the Germans and the Americans, or the French and the Germans, it was like Christmas Eve and they called a truce and they like put their guns down and they celebrated a holiday together, you know, for like 12 hours. They like stopped war, and then they talked, and then they went back and started killing each other again. Yeah. But I feel like there's these moments of humanness that creep into things, where sort of humanity, you try to beat it out, but then it's still there. There's still some kind of like humanity that occurs.
Yeah, and this might be controversial, I don't know, but I think the most human moments are in times of tragedy.
Yeah.
It's the truest display of how someone actually thinks about you, perceives you, or cares about you, or treats you, is in times of great distress. So, yeah, absolutely, there's going to be these little human moments.
And going back to the Holocaust, which is sort of the starting with the movie, we look at what Oskar Schindler did. And so you had all kinds of opportunists from all different sides, including major corporations that were using Jewish labor to create products. And Schindler was one of those people who saw a way to make a profit, and then something in him sort of clicked and it was like, I can actually do something here and save hundreds of lives. And if you ever go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., which is a very troubling and emotional visit, it's something that every human being should have to go through. It's very disturbing. But at the end, they have it might be at the beginning, they have a whole wall of people that helped. So all these people that actually did things to help people, that lied, that kept people, that did things to. So this is from the movie, and I didn't know what was happening in the movie. So I hope I don't ruin the movie. So this is from the Zone of Interest movie. There's these black and white sequences that happened, and I didn't understand what was going on. They seemed like dream sequences, but what it was, and it's based on reality, there was a Polish girl that would sneak into certain parts of the work area where people would work in the fields, and she would plant food. she would put fruit hidden in the field where the people would be forced labor when they had no food. And so this is this young lady that just decided to try to help in some way. So her act was to hide food in the work areas or in the fields where they would work. So there was these people find there are people that find ways to make things less terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of in our DNA to do that. It's kind of and built in us to make light of a shitty situation, to show some sort of decency towards our fellow man, even if they're like our prisoner. Like even our prisoners get like a that are on death row get a final meal, right? Does that still happen? Yeah.
Seems like a very weird thing. We're gonna kill you, but you can eat all you want.
No, you get one final meal. Yeah, because I mean, again, they even when committing atrocity, there's a weird morality, which is I'm not advocating for just strictly like no, don't treat them with humanity. I'm just saying like it's weird. Isn't it weird?
It's weird, like we're going to, you're about to be decapitated. What are your final words? You know, it's just, it's a mix of the worst and the best.
I mean, I guess it just comes to decency. I guess. Fuck, Jeff, you just had so many good points and like you've said things like very, very beautifully tonight, just articulating about that movie and like just that topic of like you can't pinpoint evil. Like,
Yeah, and I feel like in a time where like you and I are not so, our moods aren't so good and the world's mood might not be that good, it's important to remember the decency of some in the horrors of the world sometimes. And then it's also it's important to remember the beauty of creation in the sense of, you know, we come and go, but I was at a wedding a couple weeks ago, and there was a tree that I'm just guessing that may have been there 200 years. It was a huge tree. I couldn't get my, there's no, it would have taken three of my arm lengths to get around it. And so it's like that tree's been there for 200 years, you know, and that tree will continue to be there for 200 more years, probably. And it's just sort of the things go on, and you know, when somebody destroys something or blows something up, like with what happened in Hiroshima, things grow back and build back. And so it's impossible to destroy the movement of nature and the earth. Whatever happens, it keeps moving.
Yeah, like life goes on. We keep pushing forward and we try to make it better, even if it's in small ways.
Like having a podcast
Like having a podcast
or sending us an email.
and yeah, send us an email. Why don't you ever write us?
Yeah, just give us some feedback. Yes, no, or maybe. Do you like us? Do you like the podcast?
Yeah, again, everything is traumatic at gmail.com. It's all one word, it's all lowercase. We'll write back if you want. Or we'll
We can
answer it.
write back,
I guess we should
and it
answer it
might,
on the podcast though, right? I mean, that gives them a reason
yeah,
to.
and it might be a way. We're not asking for people's addresses, but we do have a little bit of swag that we could possibly send out to some listeners
That's
if you
true.
want a PO box, so you don't, that we don't know exactly where you live. But I know
Yeah.
Tyler pretty well, and I don't think he's going to hurt anybody. So
And I know
I,
Jeff. I know Jeff pretty well, and I don't think he'll hurt anybody either.
we're not going to show up at your house
No.
unless you invite us.
No.
But yeah, we do have a little bit of swag we could put together, and maybe Polaroid or something we could send you. We both are taking Polaroid pictures these days, and so we could take a selfie to send you, or maybe a picture of a plant or a bunny.
We can see, just email us, let us know what you guys think of the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know this was kind of a low energy, kind of a downer episode, but we need those. If I learned anything today, this is kind of a it's kind of a sit and stew in it. It's kind of a sit and stew in it kind of day. Sometimes you have to feel it.
Exactly.
But this has reached its logical conclusion. This has been everyone from Everything as a take two.
Hello?
Take two. This has been all of us here from Everything is Traumatic. I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff.
And please, as always, take care of yourself.